Hello and welcome to the 133rd edition of the GoMeAndGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
Harry, we are here to talk North Texas football. Harry, I tell you, after that game, I had no tread left.
I'm telling you, beating SMU is something special for any North Texas alum or fan. Beating them to the point that we did on Saturday is you know, sometimes I think it's a once in a lifetime type thing. I mean, that was just awesome, and it was just a lot of fun to see that happen.
It was a lot of fun. I did not see that coming. Honestly, we went down to Texas. Everybody knows how that ended up. There was a lot of questions asked about the quarterback situation. There was a lot of questions about a lot of positions on the field because we just did not perform. We couldn't do anything. The deer in the headlight analogy was used so often.
Right, and I mean, I think defensively, I saw and others saw signs against Texas that were very encouraging. You couldn't see that in the score, of course, but it just felt like offensively, and Max said it himself, that's the worst offensive performance they've had since he's been coach. So it was great to see him bounce back. I still think the offense has a ways to go, but on the other hand, there's improvement. And so you hope that we see more improvement because you're going to need it against La Tech tomorrow night.
Right, so let's go ahead. We got past the Texas game. We were going into a game against SMU. Let's talk about the game itself. It was an early game. It was 11 o'clock. I think that hurt the crowd. A lot of people had activities. A lot of people had things going on during the day. It was very, very hot. For those that didn't make the game, it was a brutal day, really miserable. My wife, who will usually stick anything out, left in the fourth quarter to go sit in the car with one of the kids because it was tough out there.
Yeah, it was very tough out there, and I remember coming home looking in the mirror. I mean, I looked like a radiation experiment. I was just terrible sunburn. Reminded me a little bit of that Rice game over at Fouts a couple years back. Just intensely hot, uncomfortably hot. But, again, the hardcore fans, I know not everybody was able to make it through the entire game, and I totally understand that. But, I mean, I was not going to get out of that seat until the game was over. That was – you don't see those kind of butt whippings, especially when it's a crosstown rival like SMU. So it was worth the heat.
I didn't leave the stands the entire game. They brought up the four of us. We went through seven bottles of water, but I did not go down the entire time. It was amazingly hot. And I'll tell you one thing, though, about that whole game, the whole crowd, totally disappointed with the SMU crowd. I don't know what happened. I know we didn't have as huge a crowd as we could have just because of the game time, but I really thought that SMU would bring more fans than they did.
Yeah, it was disappointing. And, you know, we've got a special guest, Rick Villarreal, coming on, and that was one of the questions I wanted to talk to him about. But, you know, the reality of it is that we can't really rely on these other programs is what it tells you. And I'm with you. I thought SMU would bring a respectable crowd. But I think the beginning week for both of these teams hurt the attendance. I think when you're losing 65-0 to Baylor, it's kind of hard for people to get in the car and drive out in the heat as opposed to respectable showing. And we didn't do so great the first week either, and I think that first week did have an impact on the attendance.
The students showed up. They had a great showing over there. They most of the stands on the student side were filled up. Some of the bottom part of the wing and the lower level there, a lot of sparse areas on the alumni side. But, you know, there's a lot of different factors there. But I just, you know, when we went to SMU the last time, when we played in SMU, and, you know, that's not exactly the easiest place to get to, park, that whole scenario. We had at least four times as many fans as at that game than we did.
And we will again.
Yeah.
I mean, we will again. And the only thing I want to give on the alumni side, with these young families that have soccer and sports on Saturday morning.
Yeah, it was like a first weekend of activities.
It was a really tough tough ticket. The other thing is I did go down underneath the concourse under the stands, and I will tell you this, man, there were a lot of people underneath the stands just trying to cool off.
There was a lot of people up under that lip, the shaded area, because usually by the time the game starts, pretty much in the shade. I mean, on the alumni side, and it just wasn't going to be this time.
It was really funny. At the end of towards the end of the game, there was finally cloud cover over that bright sun, and it was like the temperature went down 20 degrees.
You were talking like the last minute of the game. I mean, it hit very, very end. I couldn't believe it.
It was just, I looked around and everyone was kind of like having a moment together out in the stands. Yeah. It was
and then
really
when
funny.
we were going back to Plano, it's like raining sideways over there.
Oh, you're kidding.
And it was absolutely ridiculous. So it was a tough day, tough thing, but what was on the field was not tough. What was on the field was excellent. We loved it. Started a little slow. We're kind of wondering what was going to happen, but then it just took off. Several players really stuck out. The quarterback, people were clapping. We were completing interceptions to our own team this time. Things were really looking good, you know?
We had a really good defensive effort, and I think physically we just beat them down. I in the second half of that game, I felt like they didn't have a will to compete anymore. And you got to give a big dose of credit on this game to defensive coordinator John Skladany. I thought the game plan that they had defensively was phenomenal. SMU's quarterbacks just never knew what was hitting them, whether it was going to be a blitz, a late delayed blitz, if we were going to be back in coverage. I just felt like it was a masterful game by Skladany. And I felt the other thing is I got to give a lot of credit to Reggie Pegram and the offensive line, because Reggie Pegram said, "I'm going to beat you down." And he had a great start to that game.
He had a great game, and they took him out early. And I think that was the right thing to do. And we, you know, it just made me, you know, Jimerson had some carries. Jeffrey Wilson looked good out there, a freshman. It was good seeing the backup running back, seeing how it was going. Everything was really, really clicking on the running game. And a lot has to do with why Barbo and those guys really stepping up and playing like they should have the first week. And so that was very promising.
Well, we didn't have a 100-yard rusher, but Pegram, and I know we don't like to do stats, but I had to say that Pegram had 83 yards. Jeffrey Wilson had 57 yards. Eric Evans, the guy, you know, that did so well in the spring, showed up with a 53-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, his only carry.
And then you had Jimerson with 51 yards. I mean, that's an impressive. Even old Dejon Williams is showing up with 19 yards on that one.
Well,
run.
But you got to look at Pegram. Pegram only played a little over a half. Did he even play the second half? I don't remember if he played into the third quarter.
Not much, if he did.
Yeah, so they took him out. And it kind of goes along with what everybody saw when you watched Beyond the Green. And if you haven't seen Beyond the Green, last week's episode, they talked a lot about Pegram's injury. You know, he hurt his ankle, hurt his, oh my gosh.
ACL, torn his ACL.
And then the next play, scored a touchdown with the torn ACL. You know, he fought through it, and it's a great story, a great coming back, all the therapy he did, and he came back and nailed it, and see him out there doing what he did yesterday is just really sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great performance by him. It was a great performance by the offensive line. You know, they really laid an egg against Texas, and Mike Simmons must have lit a fire under them, because they came out and just dominated SMU's defensive line. And let's be honest, I mean, SMU has been winning the supposed recruiting wars against us over the last 4 or 5 years. I'm telling you, looking at talent, I thought we had more speed. I thought we were more physical. They might have had more size, but they did not. That didn't parlay them into having a good performance. I really liked our talent against
them.
What
do you feel? I mean, this whole situation, we've obviously recruiting against SMU, the fact that the coach is gone after the second game. It doesn't usually happen that quick.
Yeah, I felt bad about that. I didn't like that.
You did? I think you're alone.
I mean, you're talking about Jones getting fired?
Well, did he step down?
Well, I mean, come on. He got fired.
$2 million a year, you're going to fire me. I know that much. I'm not stepping down.
I mean, hey, don't get me wrong. It's given us a lot of – I mean, we're getting a lot of publicity about the fact that we're the team that caused them to get, you know, I mean, the SMU fans love UNT right now. They're like, thank God UNT won that game, because they were trying to get rid of him. But I felt bad. I kind of feel like they should have let him coach some more games this season. I mean, two games.
Yeah, that's kind of early in the season. I mean, you got recruits. Are those recruits going to switch? I hope they switch to us. But you know what I'm saying?
Well,
there's a lot of questions there. You know, trying to get a coach to replace him at this point in the season, it's just tough.
And I don't think they will. I think they'll wait. They've got this defensive coordinator or whoever that's going to take over the team for now, and I think they'll spend some time and try to – and they'll end up getting a good coach to replace him, because they got tons of money.
Right.
But, you know, it was interesting. And I'll tell you what, I was just glad we won, and to win by that kind of margin – against your crosstown rival. It helps in so many ways. We had a ton of recruits there, by the way. We had a ton of recruits there. And there's a lot of them that are considering either us or SMU. And typically we've lost a lot of those battles. But this game might put us over the hump.
I knew it was a big recruiting game. And, you know, we won't talk about SMU too much, but you got to talk about the game. One of my special things that I was really high on was a special teams play. How many times did we corner that? Deion Sanders Jr., who's always going to have a crosshair on him, could not do anything. He lost yards on it. I mean, it was absolutely ugly for them, and it was beautiful for us. I was just tickled to death how that turned out.
What about the kicker, Trevor Moore?
I mean, really, he's freshman, right?
He's a true freshman from Oklahoma. Crazy. Comes in, so much poise. I mean, just I was watching him. The way he sets up, it's like he puts the rest of the world. He's in his own little world there when he kicks those. I cannot wait to watch his career.
Three of those were over 40 yards.
I mean, he was Conference USA Special Teams Player of the Week.
In his first game.
In his first game.
That's going to be a tough one to top.
Well, we say first game. He played at Texas, but in terms of the first, I don't know, did he even kick one against Texas? I don't know. But
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. It first was a great performance. He's going
to
be
I'm not
a great
really
player.
Counting that first game. One other thing to bring up about the first game, watching the Beyond the Green, I couldn't help but think by watching Beyond the Green, watching those players and watching the quarterbacks and they were talking to them in bed, I felt like we were just not there. And those quarterbacks were already shy. I mean, just not mentally there for that game, the first game. Now, this, you know, we'll put that behind us. Talk about how they played this week. What did you think about the quarterback play?
It was better. I still think we have a long way to go there. But the thing that I like about Greer this week is he didn't try to force anything. He needs to work on that spiral. I mean, I think he had a couple ducks out there.
There were some ducks that went our way, and that was I was happy the way the passes turned out, but it could have been real ugly. And that changed. You know, the turnovers went our way this week, and this is the turnover ratio that we saw last year,
right,
and we wanted to see in the future. That's North Texas football right there.
That's North Texas
and
football.
And we really want to keep that going. So it was good to see that finally turn around this week. One of the other things and highlights besides special teams was Kevin Patrick has got that defensive line rocking. That was a question mark for us.
And they're young.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the crazy thing.
How great is it to have a great young defensive line when everybody likes this smash mouth, old school North Texas hard hitting defense?
I think Kevin Patrick, I mean, he's been a great hire. And I will tell you that I don't ever want Skledaney to retire. You know, Matt keeps saying that could potentially happen down the road because I think Skledaney's just a fantastic defensive coach. But you can't help but think about seeing Kevin Patrick and his energy and enthusiasm and thinking, hey, maybe he could be the guy in, you know, a couple of years that could take over the reins. I'm a big Kevin Patrick fan, and he just really seems to enjoy the game, and the kids love him.
We had four sacks in that game.
That's awesome.
27 points off of turnovers. I mean, there's some really good stats there, some really good things. The time of possession, everything we could really do in that game except make sure they didn't catch the Hail Mary.
Yeah, that sucked.
Oh, dude.
That really blowed.
It blowed. There we go. That was an 80s fair.
Blowed. I mean, the thing is, you knew that they were going to do it.
I know, man. Everybody
you knew
was
that
down
they were going to do it, and there was nothing you could do about it. That was a lot of people coming out. We did a post game tailgate, and there were a lot of people that were complaining about that more than the game. Hey, the game was still an ass kicking. It was great, but that was kind of a sour thing because you wanted the shutout at the end of the game.
Yeah, you did. You really wanted a shutout. You wanted us to you know, Baylor hung 45 on them, right? And we hung 43 on them. That's pretty damn good.
It could have been a whole lot more because all those field goals that he hit should have been in the red zone, should have been touchdowns.
Well, the announcers were talking about North Texas is playing people that aren't even on the roster.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, they were trying to figure out who these guys were. I do want to know who in the athletic department is handing out the media guides that says how North Texas got the Mean Green name because they said it was after Joe Green, and we all know that that's not the case. You got to wonder where they're getting their information from and how that was allowed to go that long where everybody watching the game thinks that we are named after a player. They were going, well, it's the only school that's mascot is named after a player.
I know. It's not. And it frustrates people. That may be something we could take up with RV when we bring him on here.
Yeah, that's a good thing to bring up because I'm sure he doesn't have enough on his plate. What else have we got?
I mean, there's so much. I will say this. Tailgating.
Beer sales?
beer cells is a major issue. Ooh. And I was going to say earlier when you said you never went down, I did go down and actually took a gander at that beer line and said, you know what, I'm not drinking, you know, because I was hot and I was thinking maybe a cold beer, and it seemed like the right thing to do since it was the first game we sold beer. And I just, I turned around and went right back in the stands.
So Patrick was sitting by us, and he had two guys that are from India that wanted to go to their first college football game.
I got to meet those guys.
Yeah, so they had a spectacular time, and we told them to come back because this usually doesn't happen this way. So maybe it was the good luck from the guys from India, but they came up, the guys from India, and they were carrying three beers because they didn't want to stand in the line. They're like, what's the most you can get, you know? And so here they come up there, but they had a spectacular time. And you're happy that they got to see that. But, yeah, the line was really long.
Well, the good news is we're going to sell a lot of beer in that stadium. I mean, people loved being able to get beer.
And that money, how does that – I didn't even want to ask, but does that go toward the athletic department?
Yeah.
Or
that's a revenue source for them, and it's one that I think they're very excited about. And I think the other thing is that I didn't notice anyone – I mean, people were passing out, but it wasn't because of the beer. It was because of the heat. So I didn't see any major issues from the beer drinking. I don't know, you sit in a different section than me, and maybe somebody else saw something. But to me, it seemed like it was managed very effectively.
Yeah, I think it was just the lines that were a mess. So, but I did see a lot of people doing the toasts to their friends three sections over because they finally have a beer. You know, they were really excited about that. So I think it's going to go over well. You were down on the field. You took some pictures. Over on the student side with the young alum seats with the
yes.
seat backs. How did that fill out? How did it work
no
out?
No different. I mean, no different.
They're still yelling.
They're still getting intense. I mean, that worked out fantastic. There's no change in terms of how the energy level is over there. They're still yelling at June Jones and SMU players and saying some pretty inappropriate things. So everything, I think, is just the way that I did not see any significant difference. I saw the same enthusiasm, and hats off to the students, because honestly, that was a fantastic in that heat for them to have that kind of turnout. And the other thing is, it seemed like they stayed a long time. I mean, they didn't just leave at halftime. A lot of them stayed well into the third and fourth quarter. So that student population is very encouraging if you're a North Texas fan.
All right, so here we go, coming against the Louisiana Tech, a Thursday night game, chance of rain. You know, Thursday night games are Thursday night games. It's national coverage, so you're going to have to take the good with the bads there. So good student turnout. That's what happened last time. Excellent student turnout, and they were into it. The weather is going to be a heck of a lot better than it was the other day. So I'm really excited about this game.
I'm excited about it. I'm also scared, very nervous about it. Louisiana Tech took Louisiana Lafayette out to the woodshed. And we all know Louisiana Lafayette, sort of the class of the Sun Belt, which is the conference we left. But I mean, they've won like three or four bowls in a row. They've got a good coach, a good program. And for Louisiana Tech to just basically blow them out of that game, it's kind of scary that we're fixing to play Louisiana Tech. They've got a quarterback transfer from the Iowa, Cody Sokol, who is a very talented passer. And it's like they're a completely different team than what we played last year. So the people thinking that, oh, we're going to play Louisiana Tech and blow them out and everything else, hey, I'm telling you, this is going to be a very difficult game, a real challenge for us, both offensively and defensively.
All right, so we know what SMU was trying to do with the ball. What is Louisiana Tech going to try to do? What are their strong points? People are going to be listening to this podcast before the game tomorrow, heading to Denton. What should they be looking for?
Well, Kenneth Dixon, their running back, wasn't really 100% against us last year, but he is an outstanding running back. He's got a lot of speed. He's going to really test us more than any of the SMU running backs did. And then they've also got some transfer receivers that have come in. Like there's one guy from LSU that's got great speed and athleticism. I think the bottom line is they're going to try to test us with their running game, and they're also going to try to test us with their passing game. They're probably more of a passing team than we are from a philosophy standpoint. But they can also run the ball. I mean, it's a scary offense, and it's really going to show us. We're going to find out after tomorrow night how good this defense of ours really is.
Well, I think we all knew that they kind of held their own against Texas. I mean, they played the whole game by themselves, but, you know, without those wacky turnovers against Texas, you know, I think that in a little time off the field, the defense would have even done better. So, they're definitely can put some pressure in big hits, just like the other day. A great hit, knocked the ball loose.
Right.
You know, that's what we want to see. Can we do that this week? Will they be holding on to the ball? What are we gonna be able to do?
Well, I look at it like this: you need to be able to test people offensively because your defense is gonna not be 100% perfect. They're gonna make some mistakes. So the big thing for us is we need sustained drives from Greer. And when we get into the red zone, we've got to get 7 points. I don't see this as a game where we can just have Trevor Moore kick a bunch of field goals and expect to win. I do think they're going to score on us a little bit. And so it is. I do think it's imperative that the offense take a step forward in this game or we're going to be in trouble. And I think they can. I think Greer seemed to show a lot more confidence than he did in the week before. And so my fingers are crossed. Hopefully we'll have a great showing. It would be fantastic to be 2-1 going into the next game.
All right. Well, with that, why don't we pause the podcast here? And those of you listening via iTunes, you won't know a difference. But let's go and get RV on the phone and talk to him how the first couple of games have gone.
Sounds good. We'll be right back. Let's do it.
All right. Joining us on the phone is the athletic director for the University of North Texas, Rick Villarreal. Rick, thanks for joining us again.
Guys, always a pleasure. Appreciate you having me on.
So, Rick, it was a great win against SMU, big rival for North Texas alums and fans. Just give us your thoughts about the victory on Saturday.
Well, you know, I thought there were a lot of great things about Saturday one. First and foremost, student turnout was unbelievable, and they stayed during the game. And I think that's a great thing for our future, that our kids are buying into this and coming out. I thought the crowd withstood a lot of heat, and it was really hot, and we appreciate those that came out and stayed. And, of course, the game turned out exactly, you know, the way we wanted to. You know, it was a little unexpected to me that the margin of victory was the way it was, but it wasn't. I wasn't surprised again at how hard our kids played, and you know, the defense is kind of picking up where they left off a year ago. And I think that speaks volumes about not only Dan McCarney but John Scladaney and his system. And some young kids stepped in and played well. And you know, it's always great to beat you know, an in-state rival or, you know, a school that's in state. I don't go as far as maybe some people do with the win as far as how, you know, great it is, because we got a lot of football left to play. But it's no doubt it's a good victory for us, and it's a good series that needed to start and needs to continue.
Rick, we get a ton of questions when you come on. I mean, it's great for the fans because they get an opportunity to ask questions. But one issue that came up again and again was the beer lines and the beer sales. And I think the fans were great. It was great to have beer available, but they were wondering if there was some tweaking or some things you could do as in terms of the lines that people had to wait in.
Yeah, and you know, and we apologize for that. And, you know, we kind of set up and we did. I mean, we exceeded where we thought we'd be in sales, even with a backup in line. I think there were a couple of things that contributed to that. One, you know, I looked down into the stands in the first quarter, and I actually went down the concourse to kind of see what was going on, and it was just, not only was the lines long, but everybody and their brother was under the stands because of the heat, and that complicated matters a little bit, because people, because they were under the concourse, were in the concession lines. But you know, we're going to add some additional cash registers. We kind of pointed out to some folks that, you know, they're used to going to those middle concession stands, when we actually have concession stands on, you know, on the very ends of the concourse. And so we're going to try to direct some more people to those areas, expand our beer sales areas, expand the number of cash registers. You know, we want to go. We tried to go to a beer only line, and because of the number of people that were getting in line, it was kind of impossible. So this week we're going to rope off some of those areas and create beer only lines where folks who are coming, and you know, just to get a beer, won't have to stand in line with the regular people that are buying food and possibly a beer. You know, we want to encourage people not to, especially when it's hot as it was, and tomorrow night will be a little different because it'll be a lot cooler. But, you know, we encourage people to do two things. Hydrate. I mean, even if you're drinking a cold beer, we encourage them to drink a little water either before you start or, you know, in between, just to keep yourself hydrated, because beer will tend to not really hydrate you, but kind of actually kind of work against that. And but, yeah, we understand, and we're happy about the fact that we were able to provide it, and we knew there would be some, you know, some things that we needed to modify. So this week, look for more lines, some beer-only lines, and a little more direction out front in trying to guide people who don't want beer to different areas and different concession stands so so that the lines are a lot shorter.
So, Rick, was, I'm assuming the SMU administration, top brass, everything else came to this game. Did you get any feedback from them? This was their first, I guess, official visit to Apogee Stadium. And did you get it? Did you get any feedback or interaction or comments from the SMU people that were able to come to the game?
Yeah, I actually saw Dr. Turner on one of the concourse level. I mean, on the club level, and he was down with a couple of their donors. And I had known Dr. Turner from when he was at Ole Miss and I was at Southern Miss, and so I walked over and just, you know, to say hi. And he said, "I just want to tell you a couple of things. One, your stadium's beautiful. You guys did an unbelievable job. And, you know, there's a lot of things in this particular facility that, you know, we could benefit from. And it was just, you know, it's a great place." And then secondly, he said, you know, the way that we've been treated, the way we've been accommodated, not just us, but all of our people who came, they brought a large contingency of, as you might guess, of dignitaries and other folks. And so we kind of made some special accommodations for them up on the top level. And he said, you know, the fact that you went over and beyond to accommodate us, it's a first-class deal. It's one of the best places we've been. And I think that's a great compliment to our facility, to our staff. And so, you know, I think it left a great impression with them, there's no doubt. And, you know, I got a call from Rick Hart today reiterating that and that, you know, he looked forward to being able to try to accommodate us in the same manner next year.
With this being a Thursday night game, Rick, is there any plans on the uniform side? There have been a few rumors out there about potential new uniforms, new helmets, things of that nature. Is that just fans finding ways to use their time, or is there actually something to that?
Well, you know, I kind of Dan and I, when we started the season, said, you know, we're not going to talk about what's going to be out there. And, you know, so when we came out with the eagle on the helmet, you know, the first game, that was a change we made. And you know, I think I'd just be maybe be prepared for some stuff tomorrow night, but can't guarantee that and won't talk about, you know, what we have planned for the season. But, you know, we're going to continue to we're going to continue to implement things that, you know, make us attractive to recruits, that get the fans excited about what we're doing. And so, you know, I really can't talk much more than that about it, but I would look for maybe another wrinkle tomorrow night.
Great. I know one thing we promised we were going to start doing, because you do have a background in football and coaching and as director of operations, but we wanted to get you to comment a little bit from the football side of the game against SMU and specifically in terms of the quarterback play. What was your assessment of Josh Greer and the quarterbacks that were able to get in the game, and what do you think we need to do to win against Louisiana Tech?
Well, you know, they're going to come in, and they're very much improved, and a lot of their improvement has to do with quarterback position. I think Josh Greer made a lot of strides this past weekend. You know, we were able to run the football, and the fact that we were able to run the football opened up we were able to throw the football and run the football effectively, which opened both sides of the ball. So I thought the offensive line did a great job of protecting our quarterback, giving him opportunities to throw. I think he made good throws, you know, when they were available to him. You know, unfortunately, he had one in the end zone that may have been his best throw of the day. That was called back, but I think he continues to progress. And as with all quarterbacks, you know, you're going to gain confidence the better that you play. I thought our running backs, especially, you know, Reggie Pegram and Wilson, the young freshman, you know, they came out and showed that they can play at this level and can run with anybody in the conference. And I think with a lot of people in the country, offensive line again proved that they're capable of opening holes and moving people around. It all goes back to the defense. I mean, you know, it was so reminiscent of what we watched a year ago. Guys flying around, guys, you know, guys tattooing people. You know, when CBS came in today, the thing that they asked for, they wanted, you know, a replay of the Akune hit last week. They wanted some footage of Laramie Lee. And, you know, the thing that they talked about a lot in the production meeting today was, you know, that this is a defense that's getting a reputation around the country that, you know, when you show up here, it's going to be a tough day. You're going to get hit. You're going to get lit up. But I think, again, that goes back to credit Coach Claudini a lot. You don't see our kids out of position a lot of times. The reason they're able to make great hits and good hits is that they're in the right position. I think the other positive that came out of the game was we played a lot of young people, you know, or 24 freshmen or sophomores, I think, that had playing time in the game. And you know, I'm not talking about, you know, the group that came in maybe the last series or so, but there were a lot of them that got significant playing time. And when you look at, you know, you look at the athleticism of some of those kids, that, you know, the plays they made, it's really encouraging that, you know, I think we're going to do as we did a year ago. We're going to get better week in, week out. We just got to stay healthy. But if we do that, you know, we're going to be a team to be dealt with all season long.
Rick, talking about some of the teams we're playing and we will be playing, what about some of the questions in the forums we're asking about the 2015 schedule? Is that all shored up, or where are we at with that right now?
Well, we're still working on the 2015 schedule, and I know people have their opinions. The biggest problem with the 2015 schedule was when we became part of Conference USA, and we had a four-game series with Tulsa, and you might remember that we went there and played there, and they came here and played before we were even conference members. And so that was the opening game for 2015. So we are still working to solidify the final schedule. And, you know, I would tell you that probably one of the biggest problems is going to be, as we move forward, as we continue to get better, there are going to be less and less people who want to play us. You know, it's not a pleasant trip. I mean, you look at Dan now, he's 13-5 at home. And if you really look at the last three games we played at home, I mean, they've been pretty good situations. Ball State, you know, we got behind early, but the way we played, but we will solidify that up. We have some things right now that we're waiting on contracts and stuff, but we will get that solidified. But that was a big bump in the road for us. You know, I know a lot of people point to the Tennessee, and we had to move the Tennessee game around a couple of times to get the schedules we've had in the past. So, you know, without that, we wouldn't have gotten Idaho in here last year or Ohio in the year before that. And, you know, hopefully we can get everything finished up here quickly. But we're not the only one facing these problems. I mean, Central Florida, it was just an article day before yesterday on the Internet about I think they have two open games in 2015. And I think the situation is going to even get worse as we move along. You have conferences in the Power Five or whatever they're calling that group that now are passing rules within their conference that you're going to have to play at least one of your non-conference games against another Power Five school. You have conferences that are now moving to nine conference games. So, you know, then you're going, if they're playing, if we're still playing 12 games, there's only going to be two of those games available. That's a positive and a negative. You know, I mean, there are some people that are going to depend on those games, but it's going to open up more games with people at our level. And so we're working right now not just to solidify the 2015 schedule, but moving forward in 2016, 17, 18, 19. And, you know, we still have SMU on the schedule. We have Army coming on the schedule. You know, we're going to continue to look. We're working real hard on a home-and-home with, you know, with a Power Five conference team, and hopefully that will come into fruition here in the next couple of months. And you know, when it does, we'll make that announcement. But being transparent, 2015 schedule's been a challenge. When Tulsa, you know, we got invited to the conference, and by the time that Tulsa made the decision, you know, that whole contract was changed. You know, everybody kind of filled their schedule for 2015. So We'll work hard to get it finished up and done.
All right, Rick. We don't want to skip around on you too much here, and I know you talked about the beer sales earlier and how that's going to be improved. But one of the questions that a lot of people are asking, want to know, is, you know, how were you excited with the amount of beer sales, the numbers? I mean, is this something that you feel like is going to be a big injection into the athletic department? I mean, how is that looking after the first week?
Well, I think that, you know, if we continue, and, I mean, again, it was 11 o'clock kickoff, so, you know, I think there were plus and minuses. The fact that it was hot, some people might have bought another beer that they might not have. On the other hand, I think that, you know, I think some people that early in the day may not have started drinking beer yet. And so I was very encouraged by the sales were above what we thought they would be significantly, and with the heat and stuff. I think it can definitely be a bump in our budget. But more than anything, as we've always talked about, it's providing a game atmosphere and an amenity that, you know, that people in the Metroplex can go get at several other places. And that's really the biggest factor for us. yes, it's going to be a revenue generator. Yes, it'll help us do some things and continue to expand our, you know, the things that we do for our coaches and student athletes. But just as much as it's going to put us on an even keel with some folks as an entertainment choice because we have the availability.
So, Rick, I got to ask this question specific to the game coming up with La Tech. I mean, should we like La Tech? I mean, are they nice to you?
Sure.
Because, you know, they kind of used to be mean to us back when, but now they seem to be all right. So
no,
I just had to ask that.
I think they're great partners, and, you know, I think the fact they like the fact that, you know, this is a game that we can drive back and forth to, and, you know, that they'll start to bring people and we'll start to bring people. And although it's not an in-state rivalry and some people might not look at it that way, I think when you get four or five years down the road in this series, I think they're going to be a great partner to have. You know, I mean, there's a lot of our fans that will drive to Shreveport, spend the night, go to the game on Saturday. Louisiana Tech has a lot of alum in the Dallas area. And so, you know, I think the combination of those two things can really create some good situations for us. I think a lot of schools, probably Harry, over a period of time have not treated us with the respect that we deserve. And for whatever reason that might have been, you know, we jumped around 1A, 1AA, and so we probably created some of our own problems and created a situation where people didn't think we were as good. But, you know, what's happened over the last 3 years, and we've got to continue it. Don't get me wrong. This is not a finished product by any deal. But the more that we do what we're doing right now, the more respect we're going to get. The other thing that I think makes Louisiana Tech a great partner is, you know, they went to Oklahoma and they did some pretty good things last week. And, you know, just to kind of tie this in, if you read the articles on the internet right now, Conference USA is 7-0 against the other five conferences. And there are five or six or seven articles on different blogs or you know, ESPNs or CBS.sports.com about the conference and what it's accomplished, not just in the 7-0 record, but, you know, you got a UTS team, USTA team that, you know, probably should have beaten Arizona, and you got a UTEP team that, you know, had a great chance against Texas Tech. So not only are we winning games, but in other games we're playing fairly well.
So, Rick, you look at the tomorrow night's game against Louisiana Tech. It's obviously trying to get up to Denton it can be tough for some people. I know a lot of people are going to try to get up there early, and we'll have a good student turnout. I know you're running a promotion on the sunglasses. Now, were those handed out with the student tickets, or if they get there, how was that handled?
The first 2,000 students that picked up tickets were given sunglasses. It's a, you know, sunglasses at night kind of promotion. And, you know, some people thought that, you know, when you ran out of glasses, they would stop coming. But I can tell you that students have picked up over, you know, in a short week, have already picked up over 5,000 tickets. And so we'll have a great student turnout. And I know it's tough to get here to Denton because of the traffic and all those kind of things. One of the things I hope people will take advantage of, because we're investing a little money, the city's investing a little money, but, you know, you can get on the DART train and, you know, there's bus service from the train to the stadium, and then back from the stadium to the train. We've done this on every game day. We had really good ridership this past week. So if you're concerned about, you know, trying to be able to get to the game on time or whatever, you might want to consider maybe, you know, driving to Louisville or driving to, you know, a little farther down and then jumping on the train, taking it up and taking the bus to the stadium and then turn around and riding it back and taking the train back to your parking lot and driving home from there.
Hey, Rick, question as far that we got in the chat room, because there's probably about 30-some odd people listening to this live with us. Should the fans wear black tomorrow?
Or green or white? If you were dressing in a sweater tomorrow night, what color would your sweater be?
I would always say green.
Green.
and I would say this only for the reason that, you know, I think that our fans have done a tremendous job, and a lot of people on this board are very – you know, consistent with this. But we have finally established, you know, that we're green and white across the country. People know that. And you can wear white and it really doesn't make a statement. I think a sea of green is always something that says, you know, here we are, you got to deal with the mean green. And, you know, regardless of anything else, green is always going to be a part of what we do. So, you know, if we're on the road and we're wearing white uniforms, we're at home wearing green uniforms, it doesn't really matter. And if you And if all you got's a black shirt with green writing on it, we'll take that too. But I would always, you know, suggest for TV and everything else, it's the Mean Green Nation. And you know, wearing that green and wearing it proudly in big numbers in the stadium is going to make an impact. You know, CBS Sports Today couldn't have been more flattering about, you know, and we weren't happy. And I know a lot of our fans weren't happy about the fact that we didn't have, you know, we didn't have a packed stadium, you know, and we had four or five different things going on. And 11 o'clock's not a great kickoff time. That's why we don't really schedule games at 11 o'clock. But, you know, they couldn't comment enough about the sea of green, you know. And of course, it was mostly on the student side where they were focused most of the time. But if you look at the stuff that they cut up and brought and we looked at, I mean, it's amazing looking. And so I would it's a long answer, but I would tell you, wear green.
Rick, and going along with that, when you're sitting on the alumni side and you see all those students packed in over there, it was really good to see. Were you disappointed with the amount of fans that came up from SMU?
You know, I mean, yes, to be honest with you, I was, and I think they were. You know, I think with it being as close, you know, that you would hope that they would bring more fans. You know, that's not a knock on them, but you know, we went to SMU back in 2007, and you know, if you remember that, we had a pretty good crowd, and I'm not sure how big the crowd from the SMU side was, but you know, I think that you know, we hope that the rivalry grows to the point that they will, you know, that they will bring a bunch of people. And I know a lot of people right now are kicking SMU because they're down, you know, but you know, for 4 years, you know, they went to bowl games, they went to Hawaii and just beat the heck out of somebody. And you know, they've done some really good things there over the last 6 years. And the fact that they're down right now, you know, I think we just, you know, we need to continue to make it a positive deal what we're doing, because it wasn't that long ago we were right where they are. And so you know, I hope that they will. You know, I hope that by having a game that lasts more than 1 year, by having a, you know, a 6 year and then 10 year situation with those games going back and forth and back and forth, that there will be a rivalry that will be built. And I think part of that rivalry will be built on the fact that we're going to gain respect, that people, you know, people are having and will respect us because of how we're performing on the field. And when you do that, then, you know, I think more people will come.
All right, Rick. Well, is there anything else that you want to bring up or anything else you want to promote before the game tomorrow? Obviously, a lot of people will be listening to this during the game, I guess, other than get there early.
Well, hey. You know, yeah. I mean, you know, going in the stadium today, you know, to look around, and I think this is the first time that, you know, since I've been here, you know, you see CBS Sports signs all over the place. And that's, I mean, you know, that's a big step. I mean, to be honest with you, you're on CBS. And yes, it's their sports network, but there are a lot of people playing on CBS Sports, big schools, and for us to have those signs around our stadium, I think it's really important that we get every person we can here tonight. I know it'd be easy to sit home and watch the game. There's a chance of rain, but everything we look at now says we're probably going to get some rain early in the day, and then we're going to get some cooler temperatures and probably won't get any rain back until Friday morning. So, I mean, it shouldn't be any problem. We just need, you know, if we're going to continue to be respected and continue to go where I know our fan base wants us to go and where we want to go as an athletic department, you know, we got to show up on Thursday night. We got to show up. You know, Auburn played on TV last night, I guess, or I was watching Auburn, and maybe it was a replay, but, you know, people are playing on Thursday nights in those kind of conferences, bringing 70,000 people. You know, so we can't use Thursday night as an excuse anymore. If we're going to play on Thursday night and we're going to be on TV, we got to commit to making that jaunt up to Denton. We got to get the local people to commit to being there and showing the rest of the country that, you know, when you show up at Apogee Stadium, it's going to be a great atmosphere. It's going to be a great crowd, and it's going to be one of the hardest places to play in America.
Hey, Rick, thank you so much for joining us. I was going to say I am taking the train tomorrow night, and so I'm going to do a full review of my train experience on the next show. So,
well, that'd be great. And again, I you know, the people that came this past weekend, I think the first group that came in, the bus drivers, because of Denton, there were some streets closed, and they might have gotten off course a little bit. But once they made the run one time, then there were no problems. And everybody, we kind of polled people as they got back on the train, and everybody said they had a really good experience. So I hope you have the same experience tomorrow, and hopefully a lot of our other fans will jump on the train and have the same experience.
All right, Rick. Well, we appreciate the time. Good job with the first game and the beer sales. And I think we'll be looking forward to a win against Louisiana Tech, and we hope to talk to you again in a few weeks.
That'd be great, guys. We appreciate all you do, and go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
All right. Well, that was Rick. It's always good to talk to him. You know, some of the things rang true, but, you know, he talked about, you know, they're our friends. We want things to go well. But I tell you, man, it's all karma.
Karma?
Yeah, it's all karma. SMU talked it bad all those years, and, you know, 43-6 just came right back at him.
I like the Dog fans. I have a respect for them, and I know they kind of beat us down over the years, but they've got some good fans. And
you're such a great politician, Harry.
No, I'm serious.
I know.
And there's some guys that are going to be at the game. Dwayne from Minden is, and, you know, Hog Dog, and some of their big fans are going to be coming, and so I want to show them a good time, but it sure would be nice to beat them.
Oh, it would be very nice to beat them. It'd be great to start out because then we've got basically a week and a half off.
Well, we got Nicholls State.
Nicholls State
And then we've got Indiana after that.
But we got a week off there.
Okay. Well,
we got a game.
Bottom line, you want to be 2-1. Okay, you want to be 2-1 here, and this game is. I can't wait. I'm really excited about this game.
Yeah, it should be good. I'm really excited. I mean, Rick gave us some numbers there. When they've already passed out 5,000 student tickets.
Students are awesome, and they keep growing every year. If you're a North Texas fan and you need something to encourage you, you got to look at that student.
Why don't you go on and tweet that on the Go Mean Green, that already 5,000 student tickets given out. It's going to be a great crowd.
I will absolutely do that.
All right. So with that, we had an in-house guest here. Tony is with us tonight watching and making faces as Harry and I said stuff because he was wondering what we were talking about. But we appreciate that. So we'll see everybody out at the game tomorrow night. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.